Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. No advertisers. Thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. When you support us, you allow us to grow, to multiply, to flourish, and to reach new people. charliekirk.com/support. Thank you for that. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is on the cutting edge of starting high school and college chapters all across the country. That is tpusa.com. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's my conversation in Dallas, Texas at Flashpoint Live. Wonderful people. I ask the question, what is Christian nationalism? Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Pastor Mark's amazing. Honored to be here. And what an amazing job the Flashpoint team does. It's just incredible. Thank you guys so much. I'm honored to be here. We had our incredible Turning Point USA Student Action Summit last weekend, and Flashpoint was there. We had 5,000 students from across America in Tampa, Florida. 5,000 students. And you might have saw somebody on television had something to say about our students. So we had this incredible event, and while the event is going on, our security informs me, Charlie, there are these neo-Nazis outside. I said, what are you talking about? That's weird. And mind you, they were all masked, and they had flags that looked like they just got purchased recently. Very suspicious, and it happened right after the liberal protests. And so they're out there, and I said, get rid of them if we can. They're on public property, and this whole thing unfolds. And our students, God bless our students, go out and say, get out of here, Nazi scum, the whole thing, right? And after a couple minutes, they leave, and the press writes it up, and we condemn the whole thing. And I thought that was the end of it. And so then The View, which I have to say, I think The View got more viewership this week than they have in a very long time, where they start to talk about our event. Joy Behar starts to go on, and then Whoopi Goldberg comes out and she smears. Say big, they're big fans, right? Yeah, exactly. So she says, amazingly, she says, the Turning Point USA team let the Nazis into our event, and you guys are complicit. And it was hilarious because right after the break, you could tell someone from the ABC News legal department got in Whoopi's ear and she had to do a retraction. But her retraction was so awful that she was like, well, they were there with you metaphorically. They were amongst you. And so this started a sequence of days of retractions and apologies from The View, of which only started to get taken seriously when we sent them a cease and desist letter saying, if you move any further, we're going to have to sue you. And this is an important thing, which is, it's not about me. It's not even about Turning Point. It's about our 5,000 students that were smeared by those smug, arrogant Hollywood liberals. And the message that I think we need to bring forward right now as Christians and as conservatives and patriots is, look, you could do whatever you want to me, but our children are off limits totally and completely. End of story. We're not going to put up with that anymore. We are not going to allow our children to be smeared on television, to be slandered. We're not going to allow our kids to be prescribed chemical castration drugs without parental notification. We're not going to allow these freak shows that they call drag queens to be happening in public spaces across the country. You see, this new movement that you are all part of is something that is bubbling up from the bottom up. And it's not even political. It is engaging in the spiritual, because it's saying to the leaders of our society that we are willing to use our power to protect those that cannot protect themselves. And isn't that the great example of whether or not a society is morally centered or not? Every major civilization that falls and crumbles turns their back on a nation's young people. Always. And isn't it interesting? You know, we were told for many years, we had Pride Month in June, whatever that is, and it was super, like, everywhere, flags, this whole thing. It's like, are we a conquered country at this point? Where it's like, you see the gay flag more than you see the United States of America flag? And by the way, I think some of us at some point said, you know what? Okay, whatever, live and let live. When in reality, it's live and let them rule, not live and let live. And it goes in these steps. First, the step is, hey, you have to tolerate the homosexual agenda. And you're like, that's kind of, okay, whatever. I think a lot of people say whatever. But then they say, okay, after you tolerate it, you must then participate. And then you must celebrate. And you're like, wait a second. That went a long way from tolerance to all of a sudden to participation and celebration. And isn't it interesting that after all these debates that have happened over the last couple of years, that where does it land? It ends with our children. And this is the fight in front of us right now. When historians look back at this moment in time, they will ask the question, did the people that had power do what might have been politically correct or unpopular to the media to protect those who could not protect themselves? That is the challenge in front of us, everybody, to say very firm lines. We're not going to put up with drag queen story hour in the local Fort Worth schools. We're not going to put up with child pornography in textbooks. We're not going to put up with this. And we as Christians, by the way, have a moral prerogative to be in this fight. Jesus was very clear about what happens when you go after children. And we're starting to see the emergence of two political parties. We have the Parents Party, which we're all part of. And on the other side, we have the Groomers Party or the Perverts Party. What do you want to call it? And by the way, the only way you defeat them is not just at the ballot box, but you must call out the lies and we must do it twice as hard as they've come after us because they're not going to go away. You see what's happening here, and I deal with a lot of nation's young people. Right now, this is the most depressed, suicidal, alcohol-addicted, drug-addicted, and psychiatric drug-addicted generation in history. Our nation's young people are being targeted by the enemy, being targeted as if they could be turned towards secular humanism. What an amazing opportunity for those of us that are Christians, for those of us that are patriots, to say we can now lead a revival to the very community that the enemy has targeted more than any other. Because this we just talked to an amazing group of young people. This generation has been told nothing but nihilistic and cynical lies. They've been told to stay at home 15 days to slow the spread. Go get the vaccine. Wear a mask when you shower. Go post the black square because America is systemically racist. And at every single turn, this generation, young people, have been misled down this pattern of deceit and smugness and arrogance. What an opportunity for the body of Christ to rise up and say, there is a beautiful life ahead of you. But first, you give your life to Jesus Christ and you'll be free from what is around you. We locked down the country totally unnecessarily. To try to protect a generation of which there was the virus posed little to no threat against them in the first place. And so now we have the last couple years and we can look at what's happened in our country. And it's important that we recognize that it was not the virus that hurt young people. It was our reaction to the virus that hurt students and young people. And a lot of people will say, well, students just need to work harder and apply themselves more. I think there's some truth to that. But more than anything else, we must recognize that those of us that are adults, and all of us did this in one shape or form or whatsoever, we violated the moral promise, which is that adults are supposed to sacrifice their own livelihood for their children. Locking down schools will go down as one of the worst mistakes in the history of our country, and we will never allow our schools or our churches to be locked down again, period. And now they're trying to say, well, we need more lockdowns. And you say, what do you need lockdowns for? And isn't it interesting how the media covered the original reaction to the virus? Remember, they said, if you have church service on Easter, you're a super spreader. They were arresting pastors for defying these government ordinances. And some pastors, by the way, fell to the lie of Romans 13. So Romans 13, by the way, this you can use this for all of your pastors and your friends. So Romans 13 says that you must submit to your governing authorities because they're there for your good. Now, this is what's so beautiful about the founding fathers is the question must be, well, who's the governing authorities in America? We, the people, are the governing authorities, not the mayor, not the governor, not the senator. And so when they tried to lock us down, the mayors were violating Romans 13 and we were staying biblically obedient during all of it. But it's so interesting where they were so quick to go blame Christians as super spreaders. And yet you see what's happening and they're trying to shut down the country for monkeypox now. And by the way, this has just been so illuminating to me because they say, you know, we have to be very careful when we talk about monkeypox. Let me be very clear. I'm not afraid of getting monkeypox at all. And they were very quick to go after Christians to go lock down the entire society, but they don't want to say out loud, oh, why is monkeypox spreading? Because I don't know, gay orgies in San Francisco are spreading it. And they say, well, you can't say, I just did. I'll say it again because gay orgies are spreading it in San Francisco. And we're not going to lock down our country over something I can't say out loud again. And this is important. People say, well, that makes me very uncomfortable. They're going to try to lock down our society if we're afraid to tell the truth. How many times have they done this over the last year? Well, we're afraid to talk about ivermectin. We're afraid to talk about whether or not you look to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System website when it comes to the vaccine. How many lives were lost because people were afraid to say the truth? And this is what the defining moment for us as Christians. I love watching the media. They don't really know what to do with all of you. So what they say is, they say, well, this is a disturbing movement of Christian nationalism. Do you know what that's code for? You know what that's code for? That means you're starting to care and they're getting scared. That's what that means. That means all of a sudden, Christians are going to start following Jeremiah 29:7. Demand the welfare of the nation that we are in, because your welfare is tied to your nation's welfare. That is the Lord speaking. You see, they want a church that rolls over and is obedient. They want to have the church to lock down and mask and vax, as Rick Warren would say. They want a church that will be obedient to evil. Do you know what really bothers them? Our history. It was the Black Robe Regiment that founded America. 55 out of 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. It was Billy Graham who said in the 1980s that communism and socialism is Satan's religion. It's always been pastors and the church that will catch America when it's in free fall. You see, they know that they can execute their hostile takeover of America if the church remains quiet, silent, and complicit. So there's three types of churches. First of all, let's just thank the amazing Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Flashback because they are the good type of ministry. That is the courageous church that stands boldly and speaks with moral truth, that understand that liberty is not man's idea. It is God's idea, and that it is up to us to protect it, that our rights do not come from government. They come from God. That is the courageous church. People like Jack Hibbs, people that stand for truth and righteousness regardless of the cost. Then there is the cowardly church. We should love on the cowardly church. We should try to bring the cowardly pastors into the courageous category. We should challenge them and say, you could do better than this. You know, I love it when pastors say, well, you know, we don't take stances around this sort of stuff at our church. And I wonder, I say, well, what exactly do you take a stance on? And they say, well, we're not a political church. Well, are you a moral church? Well, like they say, well, we're not here to be controversial. Hey, the gospel's rather controversial. The gospel says that we are so flawed that you need to give yourself to Jesus Christ and only through him you get to eternity. If that's not controversial, then what exactly is controversial? You see, Jesus says, I am the only way, not a way. Jesus didn't say there's a buffet option of ways you could do the Taoist way. No, he said, I am the way. That might offend somebody. I am afraid that too many talented pastors right now are afraid of offending somebody when in reality we are a nation starving for truth. Now, why are they so afraid? Because too much of American Christianity is invested in buildings and budgets and trying to expand their reach, when in reality, you look at what Flashpoint is doing, the rest of the world doesn't approve of this. Good! That's how you know you're doing your job. That's the seal of approval. I always laugh when pastors say, you know, yeah, we're not really under attack here. That's because Satan doesn't think he should waste his time on you. Satan is not omniscient. He has to allocate, the enemy has to allocate his time. As Jesus said, he is the prince of this world, the churches that are really making a difference. But you know what's amazing is the Lord is blessing the courageous churches and ministries right now. You see, if you are a cowardly church, for example, here's how you know if you have a cowardly pastor. They didn't say a word after Roe versus Wade was overturned. I'm sure you all know a pastor like that. They should resign from the ministry or find some courage, because we just overturned one of the worst demonic decisions in the history of our country. We got to love on the cowardly pastors. Bring them in. Say, hey, we'll take the arrows for you. You got to speak clearly. And then sometimes they say, well, it's not clear to me how the Bible speaks to today's time. I'm like, wow, have you read Romans 1? Like, hello? How about this? God created man and God created woman. How about you give a sermon on that? While our young people are being preyed on by government school predators and groomers, the clarity the church is missing. But it's growing and changing. The final category is the complicit church. The complicit church that goes out of their way for the seal of approval of the world. First Peter warns us about these types of churches, where the best one is where they have the gay flag outside of their church or the Black Lives Matter flag. And I always wonder, I say, whose approval are they actually trying to seek? Some Instagram follower? The approval of the world? Now, we should do everything with love and grace, as Jesus commanded us. But I'll tell you, and it's funny, the complicit pastors never want to talk to me. It's very interesting. But here's the takeaway, though. 99.9% of the time, the complicit churches have bad politics because they have bad theology. If you say that, well, the Bible is a bunch of metaphors, then your politics are going to be pretty awful. But if you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, it will lead you to the truth in all things, from government to philosophy, politics, all the way down. I want to close with a couple thoughts here, which is our future right now of America, which is the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. It is not yet determined. It is all incumbent on our own action. I know that's why so many of you are here tonight. And my call for you tonight is not just to attend these events and get charged up, but to pray and fast for your nation. So the Lord will speak to you through the Holy Spirit and show you what needs to be done. It could be anything from running for a school board meeting. You could run from a school board, but I wouldn't yet. They should be running from you, by the way. Okay, let's be very clear. You can homeschool your children. God bless the American homeschooling population, by the way. There's so many things you can get engaged and get involved with, but no longer is this going to be a spectator sport. I know many of you came here tonight and you say, Charlie, I've done everything that has been asked of me. I watch Tucker Carlson every night. I bought the pillow. By the way, promo code Kirk at mypillow.com, just so we're clear, okay? I have a closet full of Relief Factor. I reverse mortgaged my home. I have more gold than I know what to do with. I have this Trump coin. I don't even know what it does. I've done everything that's been asked of me. Hey, that's a good start. That's the starter pack for an American patriot, okay? But let's be honest. What does the left fear the most? Citizens rising up. They fear you caring so much, you're willing to spend time on a weekend to hear about this, to become a better informed citizen. They care about you showing up to tyranny wherever it shows. By the way, in both Republican and Democrat circles, because it's not just Democrats that are doing this at times. They care about, they want to try to stop it in its tracks, and they do this through a variety of ways. And I'll say this as quickly as I possibly can. Number one, too many Christians say, hey, Charlie, Jesus is coming next Thursday. Who cares? Now, I know there'll be a lot of debates between pre-trib and post-trib. I'm pan-trib. It's all going to pan out in the end, okay? Here's what I'll say. You guys can have spirited debates. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Do not allow that to be an excuse to not act boldly and with courage. This is a beautiful moment. All of you have been waiting for this moment. You just didn't know it your entire life. You get your action gets to decide the future of a civilization. What a time to be alive. We are ascendant. The other side is paranoid and worried and nervous. We have the truth. We have numbers. Yeah, they control Harvard, the New York Times, FBI, and all that stuff. Who cares? We have the Spirit of the Lord. We have your action, your passion, your intensity. And I will close with this story from the greatest man who lived in the 20th century, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was the only man smiling the morning after Pearl Harbor. He walked into his war cabinet meeting with a thing of whiskey and a cigar, and he was chipper and more joyful than ever. He walks into the war cabinet meeting, and everyone is somber and upset, and he takes a sip of whiskey. He says, gents, we have won the war. And someone says, what? He says it again. We have won the war. Someone had the courage to turn to him and say, have you lost your bloody mind? We're losing 1,000 Royal Air Force members a day. We barely got our troops out of Dunkirk. They're bombing London mercilessly. In fact, they bombed a hospital last night. Your approval ratings are so low, we need 2 microscopes to find your supporters. What do you mean we have won the war? And Churchill allows the silence to soak through the room and takes a puff of a cigar, another sip of whiskey, it being 9 a.m. He then turns to his war cabinet and says, I have studied the Americans and got to know them rather well. They're a unique people. You see, they're slow to the party, but once Americans have awakened, I could tell you right now, my friends, the war is over. We wake up, they lose. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.